Well, welcome. Good morning. As Jamie said, we are celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. If you are a guest or new to Truro, I am Steve Canizzaro, one of the Steves here, but also one of the pastors here at Truro. And as Jamie mentioned, we are celebrating or observing in this season two things. First, the birth of Jesus. It's when we celebrate a sense of a watchfulness as we wait to celebrate Christmas. And then second, the return of Jesus, the day when he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. If you have not read Jamie's message in the Truro News, I'd encourage you to just take a moment and read that message. It's a beautiful reminder of how we wait. And for the next Sundays, from now until Christmas, we will be looking at Isaiah chapter 40. You heard Charlie read the first five verses of Isaiah 40. So if you'd like, please turn in your Bible or your Bible app to Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 1. Why Isaiah? Well, just for one, the book of Isaiah is a vision of hope for sinners through the coming Messiah, the one who is to come, promising for the ransomed people of God a new world where there will be no sin or sorrow. And therefore, the book of Isaiah points to Jesus. In fact, no other prophet in the Old Testament is quoted more than Isaiah in the New Testament. And John, we've been studying the Gospel of John and his Gospel, his account of Jesus' life, he refers to Isaiah. He quotes Isaiah's prophecy in chapter 50, Isaiah 53, 1. And he concludes, Isaiah said these things because he saw his, Jesus' glory, and spoke of him. So that's why we look at Isaiah. Now, why do we look at chapter 40? Well, from chapter 1 through 39, Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel, and he is calling them to repentance. In Isaiah 40, the tone changes, and Isaiah, the prophet, offers from the Lord one of the first promises of hope. So we need to understand some background or context. In Isaiah, the people of Israel have been conquered by Babylon. The temple has been destroyed. The people have been taken away by their conquerors and scattered. Because of their sin and disobedience, they've lost their kingdom. They've lost the temple. They've lost their way of life, and perhaps their hope. Listen with me at Psalm 137, a song of lament. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? So that's how they are feeling. That's where they are, how they're feeling at this time when the Lord speaks to them through Isaiah. And Isaiah 40 marks an important transition from God's rebuke and punishment to God's forgiveness and hope. A hope that we can hold on to. A promise of glorious hope breaks upon the people of God. And so the main idea of this passage is be comforted and prepare your heart to see the glory of the Lord. So let's look at that beginning at verse 1. Comfort whom? My people. Says who? Your God. With these two phrases, God reminds the people of the covenant he's made with them. You are my people, and I am your God. earlier in Isaiah, when in Isaiah 6, God tells Isaiah, say to these people. And now you get these tender words of comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. They are his people, and he is their God. And if I'm one of those Israelites, if I'm in exile, and I realize I'm in exile because of my sin, my determination to go my own way, my disobedience, my lack of faith, my stubbornness, to hear the words comfort, comfort my people, says your God, would be a source of relief and perhaps hope. And then look at verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. Some translations use the word hardship or challenge instead of warfare. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. As I said in the beginning, when Isaiah is called in chapter 6, his first words to the Israelites are stern. They're strong words of admonishment. Go say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. You will keep living this way until your cities lie in waste without inhabitant and houses without people and the land is desolate. So if that's what they've heard from Isaiah in the beginning, now to hear him not only say comfort, but to speak tenderly to the people of Israel, that's a welcome relief. And it reminds the Israelites, the people of God, of his ultimate tenderness and kindness. Comfort. Comfort my people and speak tenderly to them. And what's the reason why they can be comforted? Again, look at verse 2. The end of verse 2. Her warfare or her hardship has ended, and her iniquity is pardoned. Her iniquity is pardoned. Israel has suffered immensely for her sins, but now she's forgiven. The Lord has said through Isaiah, your sin is forgiven, your iniquity pardoned. And God's ultimate purpose for her, Israel, is not destruction, but redemption. It's not death, but life. So you see, first the Lord says through Isaiah to comfort and speak tenderly to Israel. And second, the Lord says to them, tell them to prepare their hearts. Prepare your heart. So look at verse 3 and 4. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill made low, and the uneven ground become level and the rough places plain. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. It's going to be a new day. A new day for Jerusalem. A day where they don't have to continue to live under the burden of their guilt and shame. The valleys of despair, fear, loneliness, sinfulness will be lifted up. There will be grace. And the mountains of pride and self-righteousness, exalting themselves above God, will be brought low. What are the people to do? Prepare the way for the coming king. Make ready. I was thinking, as I prepared for this sermon, about just what we do as we prepare the way. We prepare for guests to come visit. Or we make straight the path ahead of us. That's what God is saying. Prepare the way for the coming king. So Isaiah tells the people, be comforted, your sins are forgiven, and prepare the way for the coming king. And finally, Isaiah tells them, look at verse 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed in all flesh, that is, all people, all nations, will see it. for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it. How do they know? For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see, the fulfillment of this promise doesn't depend on Israel keeping the law. It doesn't depend on whether or not they make the proper sacrifices. It does not depend on whether or not Babylon unravels or is conquered by another nation. No, the fulfillment of this promise is fully by the grace of God. God has chosen to say, look, your time of iniquity is over. I have pardoned you, and I will restore you. This is the fulfillment of the promise of God. And it's not merely the return from exile. God is not saying, well, you know, I'm going to bring you back. The time now is to bring. It's not just that. What he is talking about here is God's saving purpose for the whole world. Isaiah is to comfort and speak tenderly to the people of God, tell them their sin is forgiven, instruct them to prepare the way of the Lord. Why? For all nations to see the glory of the Lord. So again, what's the main idea? Be comforted and prepare the way of the Lord in your heart so that you see the glory of the Lord revealed. Be comforted. Prepare your heart to see the glory of the Lord. Now, this is what Isaiah, the Lord speaks to the people of Israel through Isaiah. Now, let's think about the fulfillment of that promise in the coming of the Messiah, the person of Jesus, the incarnation of God. In the beginning of the letter to the Hebrews, I love this phrase. Just listen to the opening of this letter. Long ago, at many times and in many ways. So long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So the Israelites had heard from the Lord through a prophet, Isaiah. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the earth, the whole world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The author goes on to say, and after Jesus, the Son of God, made purification for the sins of the whole world, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You see, the Israelites heard from the Lord through the prophet, but we hear through his Son, Jesus. And so how does Jesus fulfill Isaiah 40, 1 through 5? In other words, think, how does Jesus speak words of comfort? Comfort, comfort my people, says God. And when Jesus begins to initiate or preach or establish his kingdom, while he's gathered with his disciples in the crowd, one of the things he says is, blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted. He describes himself as gentle and lowly. He invites us to come unto him and get the rest that Jamie was describing. And with his disciples before his arrest, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. You and I know that. But take heart. What's another phrase for take heart? Be comforted. Take heart, I have overcome the world. And then when the prophet says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, how does Jesus speak to Jerusalem? after his triumphal entry, you hear the heartbreak of the Lord as he looks over Jerusalem and longs to gather Jerusalem. Listen to these words. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered you, your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. You see, Jesus, the Messiah, come and speak tenderly to Jerusalem. How I've longed to gather you to me. And so we hear Jesus speak words of comfort and also speak tenderly. Jesus offers comfort for all those who believe in him, all who call upon his name. And he speaks tenderly to all who are humble and contrite, all who come to him by faith. And so next, comfort my people, speak tenderly. And the next is prepare your hearts. Look at verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the desert and the highway for our God. Who is the one who proclaimed that before Jesus? John the Baptist. I heard that over here. Well done. As we heard Preston read this beautiful story of the angel coming to Zechariah, and John is born, and John's ministry starts over the Jordan, and he's calling people to repentance, and the leaders of Jerusalem don't know who he is, they're not sure, so they send people to go and ask, hey, can you find out who is this guy? And they ask, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said this, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. John goes right to this scripture, to Isaiah 40, and says, you know this portion? That's me. That's why one of the things I love about John. He knew he was the fulfillment of this prophecy. He was sure of who he was, and he was sure of why he came. For the glory of the Lord, to make straight the way, the paths, to prepare the way for the Messiah to come, the kingdom of God. And what is his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When the people came to John, they asked him, what do we do? What do we do? And he told them, repent, bear fruit of repentance. The soldiers asked him, what do we do? He said, stop extorting people. Be satisfied with your pay. The people asked him, what do we do? He said, if you have extra, give to those who have need. The tax collectors asked him, what do we do? Stop taking more than what you are required. John was saying, you know what? It is a new day. The kingdom of God is coming, and it looks like this. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And when Jesus comes to describe the way, he calls it the narrow gate. The gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who will find it are few. Bring the mountains down, bring the valleys high. The picture of the cross is the great leveler. It's the cross that creates a level plane for everyone. Everyone, through Jesus' sacrificial death, the Lamb of God who died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world. The cross is the great leveler. Where Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, proud or lowly, must come to God in all the exact same way. Through repentance and faith in Jesus, the Lamb of God. So Jesus comforts and speaks tenderly to those who would come to him by faith. Jesus teaches and demonstrates the way to abundant and eternal life is through the narrow way, the cross. That is through his sacrificial death for the world and his resurrection. And finally, look at verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it. The glory of the Lord. Let me just say this briefly. The glory of the Lord has been revealed. Listen to John's description. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. From that fullness, we have all received grace, and we have received grace. Amen? The glory of the Lord is revealed. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said, "And we with all unveiled face are beholding the glory of the Lord and are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another." All this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the glory of the Lord was revealed, the glory of the Lord is being revealed, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. John, in his revelation, that last book of the Bible, writes, "Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." When Isaiah speaks to the people of Israel, he's saying, the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. Through Jesus, the glory of the Lord was revealed, the incarnation of God. The glory of the Lord is being revealed right now. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed when we all proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." And so Isaiah is to comfort and speak tenderly to the people of God, tell them their sin is forgiven, and instruct them to prepare the way. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy. He actually quotes Isaiah when he reads in the synagogue from Isaiah 61. And when he sits down, he says, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So we have Isaiah speaking to the Israelites. We have Jesus, the fulfillment of that prophecy, that story, and that word to the people of God. And so we come again to the main idea. Be comforted and prepare your heart to see the glory of the Lord. What does that look like for you and me in Advent as we enter this season? Being comforted. If you still have your Bible open, I invite you to turn forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Paul writes of the God of all comfort. Listen to this aloud as I read it. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." This, my friends, is true now. It's true for us, and it's true that we can be a comforter to others. And so we prepare our hearts. However the Lord might lead you, As we enter this season of Advent, he might, through his Spirit, invite you to do any number of things. Repent. That high place in your heart, if the Spirit convicts you, let that be brought low. If there's a part that's low that needs to be healed or touched, let the Lord do that for you. You might find yourself in the position to comfort others. You may be led to forgive or be forgiven. You may find that in this season, God just calls you to give generously. Practice hospitality. Pray. And see the glory of the Lord. See the glory of the Lord in this season. In the beauty and wonder of creation, in the eyes of someone you love, in the face of a stranger, in a moment of reflection, in the Word of God when we worship, and more. The glory of the Lord has been and is being revealed in you, among you, through you. So in this Advent season, be comforted. The Lord is speaking tenderly. Your sins are forgiven. Prepare your heart, level the high places, raise up the low places, and wait expectantly to see the glory of God. Amen.